Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Penn State beat Wisconsin last night, 87-83. Our play-by-play calls of the day.
Clary midcourt circle. He's about to move. Clary does move. Goes up over wall. High off the glass. And good in the clutch. He delivers. 83-77 Nittany Lions. Ball went back to Hicks. Hicks lost it. Hepper, scramble. Baldwin gets it ahead to Dunn. Underneath Wahab. Slam dunk. Exclamation point. 85-79.
Won it 87-83. Max Klesman hit a three with 5:01 to play. And Wisconsin did not get another basket until A.J. Storr threw one up at the buzzer to take it from 87-80 to 87-83. They went 5 minutes between baskets. Now, they did damage at the foul line, but I mean, no baskets for 5 minutes for Wisconsin against Penn State. And Wisconsin, which was shooting an absurd number most of the game, ended up at 48% for the game. And they had been up around 60 most of the game. They ended up shooting 48. Dramatic drop in the end.
Well, I think that just kinds of show you how that defense, you know, even if it's half court, how much that defensive pressure can wear you down by Penn State.
Yeah, it's look, Penn State has been, for the first 64 feet, an absolutely outstanding defense. It's the last 30 feet, all right, where you've got to be able to defend that part of it in the half court game. And the and that's what, you know, and they did a better job of that last night. Made a big difference. It's how they, one of the reasons they ended up winning. I thought Demetrius Lilly came off the bench, played terrific basketball last night. Just what they need. Nick Kern's playing really well right now. That's why he's back in the starting lineup. He's earned that spot. And that, you know, that's big. Leo Boyle hit a three last night. It was good to see Jameel Brown get some run. We know DeMarco Duncan shoot it. Hey, great win. Great win.
Leo hit that first three last night, and they showed him on TV mouthing to himself, "It's about time."
Right. Well, I know, because he can shoot. I mean, this guy has over 200 three-point makes in his career. Like, he can shoot. All right. Now, does he have a little more trouble at this level getting his shot? Yeah. And maybe he's rushing a little bit, and he doesn't need to rush it. Just take your shot. Just take your shot. Okay, so revenue for Penn State Athletics went up $21 million last year, but expenses also went up $29.5 million. A lot of the expenses, you know, coaches' salaries went up. You know, and again, you have more money being spent on the football coaching staff. You have to be competitive. Men's basketball head coach, everything, support staff, overhead, that all went up. And what kind of revenue are you going to be able to bring in? Well, there'll be more and more money from the media side coming in as time goes, and you're going to get more money from the new college, the 12-team college football playoff. So that money is all going to be there moving forward. That'll affect football, men's basketball, football in particular, in terms of what we're seeing. Did you have to pay a competitive rate for your assistant coaches? Yeah, you do. Did you have to pay a competitive rate for your basketball coach? Yeah, you do. You have to be able to do that, because that's just the kind of high-stakes game you're playing. And you lose money and everything else. And you know, I always go back to wrestling. And the reason I go back to wrestling is that, not in any way, shape, or form to pick on the sport, because that's the last thing I'm doing, but you have to show an example of ultra-successful. They're the best program in the country of any program, bar none. Great coach, fiscally responsible, everything. Right? Sell out, and yet they lose $800,000 a year. Well, if you can't make money in that scenario with that group and that coach, that tells you how hard it is to make money in sports that aren't football and men's basketball. That's just hard to do. Right? I mean, let me give you an example. The NCAA distribution. So Penn State gets a college football playoff distribution. Okay? I don't know what it is. I think it's like $7 million or something like that. Right around that. That's going to go up. Right? Men's basketball gets a distribution out of the tournament of like $2.5 million or something like million. I mean, you want to know what the NCAA distribution was for Penn State wrestling? Take a guess, Todd.
200,000.
Too high.
Oh. 90,000.
Too high.
Oh. 60.
Too high.
Man, that's not paying for transportation for more than two or three meets now. 35.
Okay, too low. It's 49,000. Okay, that's up 4,000 from the year before. It was 45,000 the year before. It was 49,000 this past year. That's their cut for the NCAA wrestling championship, which they dominate and won. All right. See, that's just the way it is in these higher profile sports. But again, why do you have the TV contracts? Well, okay, here's the reason you have the TV contract. Okay, all right. Penn State played Ole Miss, and what'd they get? 5-6 million viewers? Something like that. 6 million viewers for the Peach Bowl. They got 10 to 11 million last year for the Rose Bowl. So they got about 6 million this year. That's great. Okay. And they had other games that cleared the 4 million viewer mark. Ohio State, you know, Michigan, Peach Bowl. They were close on the West Virginia game. I mean, Penn State ended up like with 6 or 7 games that had 3.5 million viewers or more. Okay. Well, okay, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, I mean, Penn State had 3.1 million viewers for the Big Ten semifinal game against Indiana in men's basketball, had 3.4 million for the championship game with Purdue. Then on, what were they on, TBS? I think they were on TBS for the Texas A&M game. They got 1.9 million. And then they played Texas in the second round on CBS. They had 6.6 million viewers. I mean, 6.6 million. Now, it's the combination of the brands. The brand of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, huge. The front of the burnt orange jersey said Texas. The front of the blue jersey said Penn State. Didn't matter if it was Texas basketball or Penn State basketball. It was the brand on the front. You had 6.6 million viewers. The NCAA Wrestling Championship the same night, head-to-head. How many viewers did it have, Todd?
650,000.
Too high.
Oh. Let's go 300.
Low.
No. 350.
Low.
400?
Low.
Oh. Did they do 500?
No.
No.
452,000. Okay. That's 6.1 to 6.2 million fewer viewers. Well, explain to me which one deserves the TV contract. If you're a TV executive, which one are you like, hey, I got to have this? Right? I mean, the whole thing is attracting eyeballs. The NCAA Wrestling Championship does fine. Right? There's nothing wrong with that at all. But when you get into these scenarios, like, it's like the dirty secret, like, nobody seems to want to talk about it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Or just openly talk about it. Okay, here's the reason why the NCAA men's basketball tournament's worth so much money. People watch it. Okay? Why do you pay for college football? People watch it. All right? Now, you get really good audiences for wrestling. You know, when Penn State wrestles Iowa, they'll get 300,000 viewers. That's tremendous. That's better than a regular season Big Ten basketball game, no question. Okay? But when it gets to something like this, it's not even a discussion point. I mean, like, nobody wants to talk about it. Okay. I'll talk about it. Might as well tell everybody what the reality is. It's a reality. So you end up with a distribution of everybody getting a cut out of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I mean, Penn State earned units in the NCAA. They earned two of them. And you multiply that times 6 years, that's 4.2 million. Well, that helps everybody. That's not just going to the basketball. I mean, that's not just going to go to the basketball office. It's going to go to the entire general fund to be divided up by everybody. And wrestling, for example, is in that same grouping as the other, what is it? How many sports is it? 22 sports? Does that sound right? 22, 26 sports?
It sounds about right. I would say it's most of the sports you've heard of. How's that?
Yeah.
Soccer, field hockey.
Right. Like, for example, does men's lacrosse national championship, the Final Four draw well? Yeah. It gets a good TV rating. That's fine. Softball, tremendous. Gets an excellent rating. Baseball, excellent rating, but not on the tune of the NCAA men's basketball tournament or college football. They do great, but not in that realm. All right? So, and a lot, you know, lacrosse is in many ways still a Baltimore, Virginia, New York State, that Philadelphia, that corridor kind of sport. Okay, it's getting more and more widely accepted. Wrestling is a Pennsylvania, Iowa, Oklahoma, where it's really hot in those three states. And, you know, in the SEC, you know, 16 schools, 14 don't carry it. Oklahoma has it, and Missouri. That's it. Alabama doesn't have it. Georgia doesn't have it. USC doesn't have it. Texas doesn't have it. Notre Dame doesn't have it. I mean, it's a long list of major brands that don't have the sport. And and here at Penn State, I mean, let's face it, it is the single best program in the country both in coaching and staff, personnel, fan base, everything. I mean, it's the envy of everybody else on every campus in the country. It's the envy of it. But it also, but don't expect it to, just because of the circumstances, to make money. Just be glad it's great. And I was, I'll pay more for my wrestling tickets. Penn State's done the right thing. They have not gone out and really gouged the consumer. They said, we'd rather just have people in the building. Bravo. Bravo. I completely agree with that. You know, I know you have to pay enough for your wrestling tickets, but instead of like, we're gonna try and make money out of it. Yo, hey, no need to. All right, just make sure people get a chance to go watch it. Right? They can see the best. We'll make money in other areas. Right? I have no problem with that. Zero. That's why when the financials come out, a lot of wrestling fans get very, oh, no, how could we lose? Nobody cares. It's all right. Okay? You're the best. You are recognized as the best. You are revered as the best. And not just in wrestling. You're revered as the best program in all of college sports. I mean, you can talk about Michigan football, Alabama football, whatever, Kansas basketball, whatever it may be, UConn basketball. Penn State wrestling is a program is light years ahead of those. It just is. But don't expect to make any money out of it. It's just not the way of the world. Right? I mean, that's, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's zero wrong. See, my issue, my whole thing is, I'll tell you straight up, there's nothing wrong with that. Zero. Right? I just rather have fans get there and enjoy the best.
If Penn State cared, they wouldn't put that money into the program. If they cared about the money it was losing, they wouldn't put the money they put into the program.
Yeah, the expenses were almost $4 million. All right, that's not a small number.
No.
All right? They spent almost $4 million on the program last year. Made about $3.1, $3.2. Okay? We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio. It just tells you how hard it is to make money in other sports besides football and men's basketball. It's harder.
Yeah.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Means a lot. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult, they handle it all. Do a great job, too. All with Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So far this week, Jim Harbaugh has interviewed with the Los Angeles Chargers and with the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. So that's where they are at this point.
I think Belichick interviewed in Atlanta, too.
He did, Todd. Yes, he did. You were absolutely right.
I bet they were two completely different interviews.
Probably. Probably. But, of course, you know, the question is how much has the league changed since Jim was there? With Belichick, he's in the league now. But that's where they are with the interview process. And Mike Vrabel's still unemployed, too. Yeah, really. So did you see the scandal with ESPN about the Emmy Awards?
I did.
So I guess if you are if the show is nominated, okay, if the show is nominated, it's the producer, director, whomever, you know, the executive producer, they get the Emmy Award for the show. So, I mean, let's just say our show gets nominated for something. Okay. The Emmy Award would go either to Roger or to Kevin. Okay? And they would get it. You and I would not, as hosts of the show. Now, this, of course, being TV, the Emmys would go to the executive producer, the director, the camera people. Anybody that works behind the scenes would get an Emmy for it. But the hosts, who are allowed to be nominated in their own category, do not get an Emmy. So what they did was, in order to get the host the Emmy Award for the overall show winning, they put fake names down and did this for 13 years for College Game Day. Lee Corso was Lee Clark. Kirk Herbstreit was Kirk Henry. Chris Fowler was Chris Fulton. Desmond Howard was Dirk Howard. Tom Rinaldi was Tim Richard. Samantha Ponder was Stephen Ponder. And then, and also Aaron Andrews may have received one as well. And Linda Cohn may have received one. The talent that I mentioned have nothing to do with this. Zero. Nothing. What they would do, though, is that when they would win the award for the show, they would then get the Emmys, and they would go out, the people doing this, and they would get nameplates, new nameplates put onto each, so suddenly instead of Chris Fulton, it says Chris Fowler. Now, the talent has zero to do with this. Nothing. All right? And so don't look at them and go, oh, what are you doing? They didn't do the nominating. They didn't put the names in or anything like that. Like, oh, hey, great, the show won an award. Okay, hey, it's nice. I got one too. Okay. That's about how it went. It's another one of those, like, really?
It's a weird story in the sense of, you know, what was the point? You know, I mean, you're getting them the Emmys, but I don't think they care either way. You know, I don't think they would care either way. They probably, I don't think they knew the rules, but if you explain to them the rules, they probably figure it out. I think in the story it said that Linda Cohn posted an Instagram with three Emmys, but she was only eligible for one, and then they contacted her, and now, like, the Emmy people are coming back and taking their Emmys. And
yeah, it is an industry that's desperate on awards. I mean, yeah. You have a lot of people who are desperate for awards. Okay.
I work in an industry that's the same way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I've been fortunate to be recognized, but I've never once applied for one in my life. You know, I'm busy doing games. You know what I mean? I just love my job. I don't think too much about, and believe me, the fans and the people I work with treat me great. I mean, do I need an award for that? You know? Now, when it happens, you're grateful. I mean, you know, and I've been fortunate to win a few, but I never applied for any. Somebody else did it and just, you know, and I didn't even know about it. How about that? Didn't even know about it. I'm like, oh, I won? I won what? It's just like, really? And it's really cool when it happens. There's no getting around it. But, like all the state awards and things like that. Jack Ham and I have never applied for any of that. Dick Girardi and I have never applied for any of that. Just haven't. I don't even know what size category would be in. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, ESPN does this because, hey, we're the award-winning. Okay. See, the reason that the on-air hosts can't get Emmys in the general category is they're allowed to be nominated in separate categories. So at that point, if you do it, you're considered to be double-dipping. That's what makes it such a controversy. Like, okay.
And the other part about that is, you know, like you pointed out that the hosts had no idea this was going on, but as the front-facing people of this, they're probably the ones that get the most blowback from it anyway.
Oh, sure. Exactly right. That's why when I talked to my broadcasting class, I was talking about Twitter battles. And I said, don't get into Twitter fights. I said, because you're the known entity. There's only going to be one loser in the Twitter fight. And I said, and it's always the known entity. And I said, some guy texting from his basement or posting from his basement under some unknown name, like, who cares if that dude looks bad? Nobody knows who it is, but they know who you are. Right? And that, you know, and that's the same thing with this. Oh, look at that. Linda Cohn got an award she didn't deserve, and she had nothing to do with it. You know, they gave her an Emmy Award, and she's like, hey, great, okay, hey, thanks. Right? Didn't realize I was a part of, you know, thank you. Okay. Yeah. So you're right, they'll get the blowback, but they're not the ones that have anything to do with it. I mean, if they walked in and handed you an Emmy Award right now for some show you did on SEC V8, you'd be like, oh, okay, great, didn't know about it, great. Right?
I've seen Matt and I's shows together, and I'm pretty sure we're not getting an Emmy.
Well, you know, so again, Matt. I mean, I've worked side by side. He holds a lot of people back. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, but it's an interesting story. Like, how desperate do you have to be? I don't get that.
I think it's probably a reflection of the ego whoever came up with the plan that felt that they needed all those Emmys.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it could have been like, hey, look, you know, our on-air people should get something. They're the ones that make it run, the whole thing. But it's in the rules, right? It's spelled out. The reason they can't go after it is now that they would be double-dipping by going after it. And they obviously, the people who put the nomination in, obviously know the rules. Why? They put fake names in and had the nameplates change when they got the Emmys. So it is obvious they know what the rules are. They know they broke the rules. You don't put in fake names and then change the nameplates unless you know the rules. Crazy. Oh, well, that's desperate. So,
I'm not sure the story is clear how they figured it out, but they did it for 13 years. I'd love to know how exactly somebody realized they were. I mean, it's not like the fake names are super fake, you know? Dirk Howard and Desmond Howard and what? Changing Sam to Steve?
I don't know. You know, it's one of those. I see more mistakes on TV than ever before. Graphics that are incorrect. And I think that, like, let's take this. I just think that whomever was looking at it wasn't even careful or thinking about it. They just saw a bunch of names and I said, okay, and threw the names down.
You know, it's probably a function of these places trying to get through with less people than they ever had before, too. You know,
yeah, just who knows?
Too much work and being too careless.
Josh Wallace of Michigan declared for the NFL draft. Are you kidding me? Okay. I wish him nothing but the best.
I watched both those, the semifinal and the final. I'm not sure I know who Josh Wallace is on Michigan.
Number 12 at corner, the guy opposite Will Johnson.
All right.
Right. In other words, Waldo.
Yeah.
All right. It's like, okay, fire away. All right, so let's see how many he can defend tonight. Yeah. But back to the Penn State transfers. Again, we talked about Nolan Rucci, Julian Fleming, right, and others that are transferring in. But it's just as important who you keep. Right? If Devon Ellis is in the transfer portal, I'd love to have him. If Akeem Beeman's in the transfer portal, I'd love to have him. Nick Dawkins, I'd love to have him. Keandre Lambert-Smith, I'd love to have him. I'd rather not lose those guys and have the other guys fill in around them. And that's why it's important. Hey, is Keandre Lambert-Smith going to get exponentially better? I think we've kind of seen who he is. But I'd rather have him as he is, right, with the idea that he can get a little bit better, because I think he can. He can get a little bit better. Everybody can. But I'd rather have that than maybe somebody that's an unknown entity I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about. All right. Now everybody gets excited about the unknown entity because they literally, except for statistics, don't know anything about him. Now, if the McMillan kid at Arizona, hey, I think a lot of people know about him. All right. And he's in that 30-day window if he wants to. But I'd rather go with the people I know. And there's certain elements where you're like, it doesn't mean in the late transfer portal Penn State doesn't get another wide receiver. They very well could. You know, that period, the last 2 weeks of April, it's going to be busy again. People going in the portal and maybe your ability to get one or two people out of it. In the end, you have to have 85.
I think Audrey Snyder did a scholarship count as well as she could on The Athletic today, and I think they're up to 99 currently, which something's going to have to give eventually here.
Yeah, exactly right. Something will, and it will. There are ways of doing this. It's all right. There are ways of doing it, and they'll get there. So, all right, we'll take a break. Come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, down the stretch we go today. Ben Jones tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg on Friday. I'm off to Williamsport tonight. The hot stove dinner. Tim Kirchner, I believe, is supposed to be there. Kent DeCulvey. I will just be in the audience for this and just kind of enjoy a good meal and be around some good friends. That is tonight. And
see if you can get Kent to throw you a roll submarine style at some point.
He's a great guy. I like Kent. When they had the 2009 New York Penn League All-Star Game here, he and Al Bumbry were the two honorary captains. And it was great to really talk to me. And my friend Paul Alexander's worked with Kent forever on the Pirate shows. And of course, we've had Tim on the show many times. I was telling somebody earlier today, I said, the guy loves baseball and has zero ego about anything. He's just a good guy. Just a good guy. Does a great job at his job. Has just a real feel for it. And when people have a real feel for their job, it makes such a difference. Such a difference.
as we get away from newspapers, I just wonder, you know, like Peter Gammons, Tim Kirchin, I wonder who those guys in the future end up being without developing the sources, you know, through being a beat writer in the newspaper business is what most of those guys did. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes in the future.
Well, that's a good question, because, I mean, I think a lot of people such as yourself understood a long time ago that you had to diversify and had to have versatility in the profession. And I think it's made a big difference. I don't like the fact... I am somebody who hates the fact that newspapers have been sliding toward extinction. I hate that. Because I'm the kind of person that likes to take my time, sit down, and read a good newspaper, right? Whether it's the Daily Item or that happens to be the Chicago Tribune, doesn't matter, or the Boston Globe, whatever, where I can just sit down and like page through and take my time and read whatever, pick up information, absorb it, and so forth. And there's nothing like great journalism. And I know Peter King in his column, Football Morning in America, we'll take the last part of his, you know, 10 things I think, and in the last part he'll go through, you know, sports or news, it doesn't matter, great journalism being done in the profession. Now, do you have people in the profession of journalism that have heard it with false reporting? Yes. And that sets everybody back when that happens. But there are exponentially more quality journalists that care about the truth, care about the profession, care about multi-sourcing. I mean, there's exponentially more of those individuals than those who are just dying for a click and they don't care what they put out there. And that, to me, deserves to survive. And I know we're very much into a digital world now, but boy, I sure do like sitting down reading a newspaper. Yeah. Now, maybe that's just the old-timer in me, maybe. I don't know. But that's just, I just prefer to take my time when I want to and go, okay, let's check this out. Okay. Oh, this looks like an interesting story on fraud in housing and urban development. Okay. Okay. Hey, let's check out. What's the hot stove in Major League Baseball look like? What are some of the rumors going on? Oh, okay.
But that's a short column currently, the hot stove.
Yeah. But you know what? I give guys like you a lot of credit. You figured out a while ago, hey, look, how do I keep myself relevant on an everyday basis if the paper is not going to continue to push us being relevant? You've done it.
I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard.
I know it's hard. And what's difficult is someone of your excellence is denied